In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. Is it safe here? Few months back, one of our new members asked me, "Father Koshi, will I be safe if I become a member here at St. Peter's?" This question puzzled me. First, it haunted me, and then I remembered a time when I myself didn't feel safe walking down Highland Avenue in Needham, Massachusetts, 15 years ago. I had just concluded a noon prayer for those who gathered at the church, Christ Episcopal Church, after the terrorists had attacked the Twin Towers in New York City on September 11, 2001. Among the readings I chose for the service, there was this reading from Matthew. "You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Offended by my selection of that reading that talks about love your enemy, one of the members took me aside and chastised me for including those words of Jesus. Feeling a bit shaken by that experience, I decided to take a stroll down on Highland Avenue to a nearby eatery for lunch. All of a sudden, as I was walking down, I became very self-conscious. Very powerful emotion kind of took hold of me. I felt I was being followed. Everyone was kind of watching me. Felt like something was going to happen to me. I felt a sense of abandonment, and I began to question myself, why am I here? And why don't I go back to where I truly belong? I walked faster and faster, and of course nothing happened to me. But later that evening, I heard on the local news a couple of Indian restaurants were firebombed and an Indian restaurant owner was killed. 9/11 sanctioned hate. People who looked like me from South Asia were on the crosswires. Did Christ Church in Needham, Massachusetts give me a sense of security? Yes, it did. Is it safe here? Wednesday evening, the day after election, I attended a gathering of LGBTQ community here in Phoenixville. Emotions were raw and palpable. Each one of them said how scared they were and scared for each other. Later, our daughter Manju, who is gay, called us from California and said how scared she was by saying that Dad, this election sanctioned hatred towards LGBT community. I received emails from members of our church expressing their shock on the outcome of the election. Never before in the history of our republic, my adopted country, the outcome of an election raised this much passion, division, or reaction as this one, as you all know from reading the newspapers and the news on the TV. In our gospel reading for today, we could sense the angst among the Jesus disciples when he had told them as to what might happen to their beautiful and colossal temple, which they were admiring it. Temple was not only a place of worship for them, it was an idol. It stood as a proud symbol of their human achievement. And to them Jesus told, "As for these things you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another, all will be thrown down." Naturally, the disciples were wondering whether they were safe when all these things will happen, and how they can be prepared for it. Was it safe for them? To better understand this passage, we also need to read the passage immediately before it. Jesus and his disciples were at the temple. While the disciples were marveling at the beauty and the of the temple, like some country bumpkins visiting New York City and marveling at certain huge towers, Jesus was paying attention to a poor widow putting two small copper coins into the treasury. Back to back, we see a contrast in what disciples saw and what Jesus saw. On the one hand, we are called to pay attention to see a poor, vulnerable widow giving her only two small copper coins to the temple, and on the other hand, we see ourselves marveling with the disciples on a temple adorned with beautiful stones and gifts, symbolizing the arrogance and power of human achievement. Jesus praises the widow's giving, and he castigates the other one and predicts its destruction. Jesus goes on to say, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he.' Do not go after them." And I read, "I am he." It reminds me of the claim recently made on the campaign trail, "Only I alone can fix it." The destruction of the temple happened in Christian era 70. Jesus predicted this about 40 years before the destruction. And Luke, our gospel, was written about 15 years after the destruction of the temple in 85 Christian era. This was a time of great turmoil. People of faith and people who were vulnerable at that time may have experienced a similar kind of angst as some people of our time are facing now. But friends, here is the good news. Here is the gospel. After saying all that may happen to them, Jesus ends his words by assuring them, "But not a hair of your head will be perished. By your endurance you will gain your souls." What comforting words by Jesus. So today, let me tell you to everyone, regardless of which side you were on the election, St. Peter's is God's sanctuary for you. Everyone is safe here. Whether you are rich or poor, whether you are gay, transgender or straight, you are beloved of God and you are safe. Whether your background is Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, Christian or no religion, you are safe here. Whether you are an immigrant, undocumented, Hispanic or Syrian, you will find a pew for you in this God's church. It is an inclusive church. We embrace each other, regardless of color, creed, gender, ethnicity, or sexual orientation. This is a place for community. We are all in it together. Everyone is safe here. We are a bunch of sinners, yes, but on a journey to the heart of God. By your endurance, we will gain our souls. We will pray for our president-elect. We pray that he will not be divisive. We pray that he will be successful in solving the problems of our nation and the world, especially the most vulnerable among us. We will pray that he will follow the baptismal covenant, one of which reads, "Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?" While we pray for President-elect Trump, God's grace and success in running the country, we will also hold him accountable for good governance and for striving for justice and peace for all people, regardless of who they are. Today, we will add 4 persons into the Church of Jesus Christ: Ian Michael Carney, Louis Donald DeWalt, Addison Marie Gwilym, and Olivia Abigail Ruddock. Yesterday, I met with the parents and godparents of the infants and told them about the seriousness of the commitment they are making on their behalf. The covenant asked them, "Will you come to church regularly?" And they all said yes. The children want their parents to come to church, only then they can come. And another thing that is asked in the covenant is really supporting the community. I reminded them of the importance of giving to the church, and about the importance of helping young people, children, also become givers. I'm encouraged to hear about how 2 of our young people recently contributed to the church. Dahlia Boone, who is in our confirmation class, collected canned goods when she went on a trick-or-treat for Halloween. This is for the pantry. The other one is Ella Brenflack. She contributed to the church, or contributing to the church, from her allowance. She gets $3 a week, I believe, and Dahlia is only 8 years old and she is in the 3rd grade. Our children are showing us how to give to the church. Today is In Gathering Sunday. Let us remember how Jesus praised the faithfulness of the vulnerable widow who gave to the temple all she had. While we marvel at and idolize our human achievement, God marvels at the faithfulness of a cheerful giver to the church. And Jesus continues to remind his disciples that the present difficulties that they face, the persecutions they face, and the vulnerabilities they face are temporary. He assures them that they don't need to be concerned as to how they will be spared from all the troubles that lie ahead, by saying to them the most assuring words, "But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." Yes, we will be safe. We will be safe here in this place. This is God's sanctuary. I want all of you to turn to the book of Quran prayer, the red book that is in front of you, and turn to page 820. And the prayer number 19, for the President of the United States and all in civil authority. And when it comes to the President of the United States, also say President and President-elect. Join me in saying this prayer. O Lord, our Governor, whose glory is in all the world, we commend this nation to thy merciful care, that being guided by thy providence, we may dwell secure in thy peace. Grant to the President and President-elect of the United States, the Governor of this state, and to all in authority, wisdom and strength to know and to do thy will. Fill them with the love of truth and righteousness, and make them ever mindful of their calling to serve this people in thy fear. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Let's take a few moments of silence.